Good morning and welcome to WLQI's Saturday Morning Sports Showcase, live from SP19 in Tamatt. The Saturday Morning Sports Showcase is brought to you in part by RMT Transport, Fozzie Califf TV and Appliances, Midway Net, The Good Table Family Restaurant, Anderson Outdoor Power, Kentland Bank, By Suburban Propane, Prospect Auto Supply, Solid Rock Ag Solutions, Smith Farm Store, Edward Jones Financial Advisor Christine Bogan, SP19 American Kitchen, Tim's Auto Body and Sales, Reinforcement Designs, McAllister Machinery Company, and Buy More Trucking. Let's go live to SP19 in Tamatt.
And this is the sports showcase from the SP19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in beautiful DeMont, Indiana. Fall has finally arrived and cooled off a little bit, but still a nice sunny day out there. Just kind of missed the 80s. Hello, everybody. I'm Bernie Goen. And today, a little bit of a change of pace, at least initially early. A couple of our coaches have decided this week to go remotely. So Noah Ehler had a chance to talk to a couple of them this morning. So we'll play that for you in a minute right here on WLQI97.com. And then hopefully we'll have a few more coaches later on live here from ESP19 restaurant. But first, Noah sat down with the head coach of the Rensselaer Central Bombers, Coach Chris Meeks, as he talks about last night's back and forth tilt with the Western Panthers all the way in Russellville for third, fourth place in the Hoosier Conference game in the crossover, and the 49-42 loss to them, and plus talking about the upcoming sectional 33. So let's go to Noah and Chris Meeks now.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Week 9 coverage here on the Saturday Morning Sports Showcase. My name's Noah Ehler, and I've got Coach Chris Meeks on the phone here to recap Week 9 action as Rensselaer traveled to Western yesterday and played the Western Panthers. Rensselaer fell short 42-49 in a very tight finish. And, Coach, you know, we alluded to it a little bit last night in the post-game interview, but, man, what a tough game.
It was a tough game, but it was a wild game, that's for sure. I think both teams mirror each other very much. I think the difference between the two, a couple things. Number one, they're a very senior-dominated team, lots of experience, especially on their line, offensive and defensive lines. They have several kids that have started 3 years where, you know, you look at our defense and offensive line, we've got several sophomores playing. But The other aspect when you look at them is they've got some outstanding speed in their skill players. And number eight, Lydell, he's just a handful to try to cover in that secondary. But just a phenomenal Hoosier Conference game. We came up on the short end of the stick, but we were so proud of our kids last night. We had a lot of adversity going throughout the week with who was going to play, who wasn't going to play. And you know, we were a little shorthanded last night, but we had some kids step up, and I just thought we had a lot of outstanding performances last night. Just we came up short in the end.
Yeah, and to that point, I mean, as far as individual performances, Dylan Kidd had 4 touchdowns, Kelton Hessen a touchdown, and Lakin Webb a really beautiful catch in the back of the end zone. I mean, all around it looked like, especially like we talked, in the first half, I mean, Coach, it seemed like Rensselaer was in the driver's seat, and we really were, I think, on the up and up. And as far as time of possession goes, I mean, that was definitely in your favor and something that I know that was big to keep out of Western's offense and keep them on the sidelines.
Yeah. Like I said, they've got speed, especially for skill player position. So, you know, we would go on a 12 or 14 play drive and use 4 or 5 minutes, 6 minutes of the clock and get down and score. And, you know, they'd hit a touchdown, 69-yard touchdown pass in a play or two. And just we had some tough matchups last night. Western's a very, very good team. They're 8-1 for a reason. The one loss they had, they were a little shorthanded against Hamilton Heights. Otherwise, they would have been playing for a conference championship. Very good opponent. But, you know, even with the mismatches last night, I thought our kids played very hard, very well. And, you know, you look defensively, you see we gave up 49 points. But again, you know, we're missing our inside linebacker. We're missing our defensive end. Our tackle goes down, you know, before halftime with an injury. So we've got three starters missing off that defense. So we had to shuffle kids around. Some kids that don't normally play two ways were playing two ways last night. And then, you know, being there yourself, you saw the size factor. I mean,
yeah.
They got some big 75s, what, 6'8", 6'9", 330 pounds.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and he's definitely not the only one that's got some size.
No, big 60, a four-year starter for them. He's considered a front runner to win the state championship at heavyweight this year in wrestling. I mean, they've got some studs, but our kids played their hearts out, and really, it was a fun game from the standpoint. I don't think it was bad defense. I think it was both teams making some great plays last night.
Well,
the Padgett kid.
Yeah,
I was going to say the Padgett kid at running back. I mean, he's all state for a reason. Over 300 yards rushing last night, and he's got tree trunk legs, but he's got some speed to go along with it. And their quarterback has got an arm, and it's just a fun game to be a part of. But I thought our kid performed very well last night, and you know, when we got that onside kick, I wish we would have had a minute and a half left instead of 25 seconds.
I know that that seemed like it really breathed life into the situation. And right after, you know, obviously a great touchdown reception by Lake and Webb, they're late with about 27 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and then Luke Dixon lines up and has a tremendous bounce on that, and it really kind of looked like Western wasn't ready at all. I mean, it looked like they were kind of still trying to shift or formate to what Rensselaer was doing, and man, what a great hop, but Rensselaer recovered it, and then shortly after, you know, extending the ball, you know, turns it over, and that was kind of the end of it.
Yeah, with 25 seconds left and them sticking eight guys back in coverage, it's kind of a tough situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, all we ask for Tate is to Tate Drone, our quarterback, get the ball down the field, give our receiver an opportunity, which he did. Don't take a sack. We don't have any timeouts left. Can't stop the clock. Get the ball down the field. And, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Pass interference or, you know, a lucky catch or whatever. But, yeah, they had it well covered, and they intercepted it. To their credit, and that was the end of the game. But, you know, getting back to Tate, I thought that was his best game of the year. He threw the ball very well. He was 13 for 18 passing for 90 yards, two touchdowns. You had mentioned Dylan Kidd, 138 yards rushing, four touchdowns. Also threw a beautiful halfback pass for 41 yards for a TD. Kelton Hessen had six receptions for us last night. You know, several outstanding performances. Luke Dixon, 6 for 6 on PATs. He had a beautiful punt. I think it was just one punt throughout the night for both teams. And that was 53 yards. But one thing I want to mention, and I know this is near and dear to your heart, being a former lineman, I want to talk about our offensive line for a second.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, we were going against some big guys, very big guys up front, and I thought our offensive line did a great job all night long. Our center, Kai Reisner, he's a kid that started for us at 3 years now, did an outstanding job of you know, blocking, especially big 60. The guards, Jordan Cree, Jake Pickering, Kyle Carter, you know, we rotated those three guys in all night. They did a nice job. Our tackles of Max Korniak, Martin Boguette, and then our tight ends of Jacoby T.D. Souza, Aiden Randolph, and Ryan Stokes. And, you know, all these guys mix and match throughout the course of the game, and all of them had very good performances last night, and you know, anytime you can score 42 points against a team like Western, that just says something for your offensive line.
Yeah, and Coach, I'm really happy that you brought that up, because I mean, from what we watched up in the stands, it looked like true vintage football or Bomber football there at week 9 action here, and we were obviously very tickled and excited to be a part of it and travel over to Western and watch it. And we're even more excited for now you turn the page, and now it's postseason play like you alluded to last night. You know, it's a sport that has two seasons to it, the regular season and the postseason, and now getting ready for the Bowman Academy Eagles. You know, I'm sure you're pretty excited to start this part of it as well.
Oh, we're very excited. And, you know, you go from week 1 to week 9, and I think you can see the vast improvement in our kids and the confidence that's growing. You know, even though it was a tough loss last night, you know, our kids know we we played well. And, you know, hopefully we get everybody back intact and get our team together. If not, we'll have other guys step forward and give their best effort. But it's sudden death at this point. So after Friday night, half the teams in Indiana will be hanging their cleats up and getting ready for their winter sport. And do what you can to survive. So it doesn't matter if you win by 50 or win by one. You got to find a way to get through it. So we'll start off with Bowman. They come to our place. We played them like three or four times in the past, and they'll be very athletic and very quick. So, you know, we'll have to do our film study, make sure we are in position to defend them, and hopefully our offense can keep doing what it's doing. I think our offense is in a groove right now. We're putting a lot of points on the board, and, you know, it should be an exciting game. So it's always fun to get the sectional started. And, you know, the regular season was fun. It was great that we got through nine games, but now the real season begins.
Recapping Week 9 action with Coach Chris Meeks of the Rensselaer Central Bombers as Rensselaer falls to Western 42-49 in a very tough final game of the season matchup here. And, Coach, like you alluded to, best of luck next week as you start off sectional play against Bowman Academy at home. And best of luck to your squad.
Thank you very much. We look forward to it, and we'll see you out there Friday.
All right, take care. Thank you. And you are listening to WLQI 97.7 FM, The Keel.
The Good Table Family Restaurant is the place to go for an excellent home-cooked meal. The breakfast menu is full of all your favorites, including fluffy three-egg omelets full of mouth-watering bacon, ham, and sausage, cooked just the way you want it. Their soups and salads are made fresh daily along with every menu special. Come to The Good Table with a hearty appetite, and I guarantee you won't leave hungry. The Good Table Family Restaurant, located on US 24 West in Kentland, where they serve good food to good people.
RMT Transport in Morocco is now hiring for CDL drivers. Drivers haul locally and are home every night. Benefits are available after a probationary period. Please call Tiffany at RMT Transport in Morocco for more information. 219-285-2307. RMT Transport in Morocco. 219-285-2307.
Anderson Outdoor Power and DeMott have your hometown dealer advantage. Big box store pricing, check. Professional setup until it's loaded on your truck, check. Factory trained service department, check. Small dealer attention, check. Deal with the same people each time you visit, check. At Anderson Outdoor Power, you'll get the same price and the attention you can't get at the big box stores. Stop by today at 325 Almond Street Northwest, DeMott, and deal with a winning team of over 35 years of experience. Anderson Outdoor Power, big store pricing with small town personal service.
Good morning and welcome back as I've got Coach Broyles of the Kankakee Valley Cougars in the coach's chair this morning on the Saturday Morning Sports Showcase. And Coach, tough game last night. Even though you didn't actually get to play, it makes it even that much tougher, especially going into postseason play right next week. And just talk a little bit about what happened there.
Yeah, it was unfortunate not being able to play. You know, we were literally at practice and just doing everything we needed to do to get ready for Highland and out from AD and. You know, it's not always the best of signs when he's walking out of practice. And, the message that it was unfortunate, but Highland had to cancel. Due to the COVID situation they were going through, was especially, with the contact tracing that they had. So, it was one of those, he had to really switch gears right away. You know, that was done, and instantly he started focusing on who we drew for sectional. So, it was frustrating. I completely understand it, and I get it, and I appreciate Highland being forthcoming with all the information instead of waiting until after the game. that would have been a pretty that could have been a situation. But, Allstate, considering everything, safety first, as we always talked about, especially now with this in our crazy times here. And, it's just unfortunate. But it was one of those that we were really hoping to get to play, especially, you know, right before sectional, hopefully gain some momentum, which, you know, I really thought we could have. But the kids were excited. They were ready to go. And, you know, after a stretch of a few tough games, and, you know, it was kind of, it would have been nice to get back on track. But, you know, I think in practice, you know, we kind of were able to do that on our own, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, it was definitely a tough one.
Yeah. And it was tough to see, you know, so many area teams with South Newton, North Newton, Tri-County, and also KV all not playing due to reasons along those guidelines. And it's one of those things that setting up into, you know, postseason play next week, you really like to go out there and, like you say, get back on the winning track, and not getting an opportunity makes it a little tough.
It does. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, it's just a confidence thing. You know, you want your team to build a little confidence going into sectional. Like the past three games are tough. We faced three top state-ranked opponents, and, you know, we fell a little short on them all, and you're hoping to get a little momentum. And I think it's part of football, you know, as right now in our days right now. This is part of what we have to deal with. So I think kids know the kids are, you know, they're resilient, and they'll bounce back, and they'll be just fine with it. They're excited. They're ready to go. You can tell in the practice that we had, they're fired up. So I think we'll be okay. It was, you know, just one of those to get the Kings kind of, you know, knocked down a little bit, but it'll be good.
Yeah. And like you alluded to, you know, you return to action next week at home, Friday, October 23rd. At 6:30, right around at your high school, to start, you know, the sectional play here, and obviously you're favored in this game, but it'll be exciting to get onto the postseason and re-energize your team into the second half of the season and get ready to make the run down to the dome.
Absolutely, you know, it's gonna be a good game in that Culver Academies, and you know, I know they suffered a pretty tough loss last night to Kieran Catholic, but they're a tough team, and you know, they're going to come in playing hard. They always do. I mean, there's some things that I know we can do to help ourselves in this game, but you know, I think once again, what's nice about having anything's nice about having any of this time is you kind of refocus on yourself a little bit here, and then you get back to the basics of what we're all about, what kind of got us where we were at the beginning of the season. And, you know, we were able, and you know, we're going to be able to do that. And, you know, there's stuff that I know Carlo runs a option style offense that, you know, we necessarily haven't seen, you know, at all during the season, except for maybe a few plays with over. But, yeah, as long as we can focus in on that, there's got to be a sign of football when you play team that runs a style offense. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot of just fundamental work for us to get back to the basics, which will be good. I think it'll be really good to be able to, you know, do well for us.
Yeah, and to that point, Coach, I mean, whenever you're getting prepared for an opponent or so, and I know that you guys have a mutual opponent in Hobart that you both fell to this year, is that something that you'll spend more time studying the film on that, or will you kind of just watch the most recent games that they play, or how do you typically like to prepare, especially when it's getting to this time of the year?
Yeah, it's be a mixture of both, because, you know, there's definitely going to be some things that they're going to probably bring up whatever they did successful against, say, Hobart or something that they could easily, you know, like you said, since we're mutual opponents, you know, had Hobart there that they were going to be able to do against us. However, I do like to look at the latest game because, you know, whether it be injuries or, you know, unfortunately with, you know, with the quarantine stuff, you never know who's out there. And, you know, as you and I both know, as you go through the season, depending on how it goes for you, I mean, there's a lot of emotion either drained out of you or you're still in you.
Yeah.
How this is done. I like to see that. I want to see that out of their players, and I want to see, you know, how are they playing the game, you know, at this point in time in the season, and what things hopefully they'll take advantage of. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you get a mixture of both in there. which, you know, there's a lot of film to watch, but that's all right.
Yeah, that makes it more entertaining, and it makes it a funner drive here for the, obviously, as Coach Broyles is in the coach's chair with us this morning, and we appreciate you, Coach, you know, calling in and talking to us and recapping or giving us a small preview about sectional play right around the corner. And we definitely wish your squad the best of luck, and KV will return to action next week at home against Culver Academies. And Coach, as we turn the page on the postseason play, any final remarks or anything to cap off the 2020 season?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's been a crazy and wild ride, and it was a good one for us. It was a great, you know, in the direction that we want the program to go. It was really good for us, you know, being that we only had limited time with these kids. And you know, and again, I think it's for us and for our team. And it was a lot of put on these kids, kind of do their own thing to get ready for the season. And you know, I think they really did a good job with it. It's fun to see that it's paid off. We've had, you know, we definitely had some games where it was you wish it was the other way, but you know, I think all that work that they put in and on their own and continue to persevere for the season, I think it's going to pay off for them.
Well said, Coach, and we obviously are going to be pulling for you here at the station, and hopefully you guys can continue this great ride and great season that you've had. And now with sectionals right around the corner, you'll return the action to play Culver Academy next week. And Coach Broyles, we really appreciate you calling in and talking with us as we recap Week 9 coverage here on the Saturday Morning Sports Showcase, and you guys are listening to 97.7 FM, The Q.
Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning is still your local provider for propane, with service you can depend on not only for propane, but even your water softener, drinking supplies, and salt. Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning, with locations in Remington and Winnemac to serve you. For your next home heating, drying, and water softener supplies, call Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning in Remington, 219-261-4286, or in Winnemac, 574-946-3053.
Working with people has been a Kentland Bank trademark for 86 years. They pride themselves with a small bank atmosphere and friendly staff. They are dedicated to making your visit a lasting one and make it a priority to help you achieve your financial goals. They offer the conveniences of online and mobile banking, along with a variety of loans. They invite you to stop in at any of their 5 locations and meet their dedicated staff. Kentland Bank thanks you for making them the bank of choice since 1932. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Posse Caleb TV and Appliances wants you to craft the perfect meal at home with KitchenAid appliances. Designed to fuel your passion and make cooking and entertaining easier, KitchenAid is there throughout the entire cooking and cleaning process to help you experiment and create with top-of-the-line appliances. Whether you're a novice or a master chef, you'll find KitchenAid has the right kitchen appliances for you. Browse our wide selection of major appliances at Posse Caleb TV and Appliances in DeMott and Rensselaer to find the right KitchenAid appliances for all your culinary adventures.
Back on the Sports Showcase from the SB19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in beautiful DeMont, Indiana, on WOKI97.7.com. Bernie going now with the head coach of the West Central Trojans, Coach Mark Hull. Coach, how are you this morning? I know, pretty disappointed.
Yeah, you know, been better before, but you know, positive last night is the kids gave a great effort. Played real hard, and I can't be more proud of them. As I told him last night, I'm just disappointed that I let them down with a end of the game play call that we had discussed. It was tie game, 24 apiece. We got the ball with about 2.5 minutes to go in the game, just around 2 minutes to go in the game. Went 90 some yards, got down to the 2, and called timeout with 5 seconds. We discussed the play in the huddle. As a dive play, and we lined up, and after the timeout, and number wise, I thought it looked better to get to the outside, so I changed the play to an outside run, and it didn't get there. And told the kids after the game that, you know, it's my fault, and completely apologized to them. We should have just stuck with the original call, and you know, would have gotten in, know, I don't know, but I know the play we called didn't get in. So it's one of those things that, looking back at it, I just wish we would have stuck with the original play. And the kids, like I said, played hard offensively, defensively, and just to let them down like that is killing me right now. But we had a lot of good efforts last night. Colton Quest last night led us rushing 20 carries for 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. Garrett Lehman had 18 carries for 49 yards for us last night. He threw the ball 22 times last night, which is the most we've thrown in the game for a long time. He completed 15 of them for 138 yards and a touchdown and had one interception. Braden Neuse had eight receptions for 68 yards and a touchdown. Bladen Huber had 7 receptions for 53 yards and a touchdown. Aiden White had 1 reception for 17 yards. And we had also Aiden White had 1 carry for 10 yards. Bladen Huber had 2 carries for 8 yards. And Braden Neuse had 5 carries for 3 yards. And had overall, Braden Neuse had a really nice game. Offensively and special teams wise, he had two kick returns for 65 yards, had one punt return for 28 yards, and then Bladen Huber had a real nice game for us defensively as well. He had 10 total tackles. Aiden White had 7 total tackles for us. Braden Neuse had 7 total tackles for us as well, and we had. As some other teams have around the area have had, we had some contact tracing that took place this week. So we had some kids that were playing in, had to step up, had to play for some kids that we were missing. And they did really well last night. We had on the offensive line, we had put in our backup fullback, who's a freshman, Jacob Polarski, as our left guard. And he did a nice job. He's undersized, but he fought. He got in people's way. I don't remember any play that was just a didn't go to the right spot type thing or anything like that. So did a real nice job for us of filling in. Defensive side, Blake Hughes played more defensive line than he has all year and did a real nice job for us. He had 4 total tackles of the night. He had a tackle for a loss. He had a sack for us, had a quarterback hurry. He just did a really nice job for us, real happy with what he had done. Played real well. Very pleased with all their effort. As the game went, they scored first, went up 6-0. We scored early in the second, made it 8-6. They scored before halftime. Penalties hurt us last night. We did have 8 penalties on the night. That did hurt us. We had a lot of plays we ran. We had a total of 19 first downs as well. So we did some good things as far as offense is concerned, but we're down 12-8 at halftime. We did actually throw a touchdown pass in that second quarter that was a long one, a long touchdown pass. They got called back for a holding call that I think it was just a good block by our left tackle, but the ref didn't see it that way, called a holding. So we're down 12-8 at halftime. They come out third quarter, they get the ball. Second play, they do hit a deep pass on us, and they're up 18-8. Into the third, we get a drive, stalls out, we punt it, have our probably our best punt of the year, and we pin them on, I think it was like the 3, maybe the 2, and then 2 plays later, we force a safety on them. Aiden White came up and made a good hit in the end zone and forced that safety, so now it's 18-10. We get the kick, we move it downfield, we score, into the third, 18-18, going in the fourth, and kids playing hard. Everything's going well. They do hit a reverse on us that goes for a touchdown, so they're up 24-18. We march it down the field, score on one of a Braden Neuse reception, and it's 24-24. And then we kick off to them. They punt, and that's when we take over about the 5-yard line, and we march it down the field to the 2, and then couldn't get it in. Then in overtime, they're able to score. We didn't. So there's the game, 30-24. Effort again. Very pleased with our kids. Last couple of weeks, our effort has been great. We've done a lot of good things. Just wish we could have gotten that one last time.
Yeah, that one certainly stings. One that will probably thing for it. Would you say, though, it sounds like from that, the probably the turning point was, I was going to say maybe the safety, but even before that, that great punt you guys had. And people, I don't think, realize how important special teams are. When you do something like that, you know, you have a punt like that, it, you know, count on a bad snap, whatever could happen, and it ended up really turning the game for you guys there.
It did help because our first two punts tonight were not very good punts. And then that one, he got a hold of it, and it was a great punt. It was a 44-yard punt to pin him down there. So that did help it. It gave them bad field position, and we were able to take advantage of it. And then that allowed us to get that safety and then go downfield and tie it up. So, we had some good special teams things last night. With that punt, we had the really good kickoff return, a 53-yarder by Braden Noose, and then he also had that 28-yard punt return. So, we're putting things together. Teams is doing well. They're playing for each other. It would have been easy for them to say, going into last night with people out for contact tracing. We had kids out for injuries. We had some kids out for grades. It would have been very easy for the kids to say, well, we don't have our guys, so let's fold it in. But we competed. We played hard. And that's one of the things we've been hitting on a lot is to compete. Every play, just compete. And we did a good job of it.
Yeah, what's unfortunate is obviously as a coach you prepare for, unfortunately, could be grades because, you know, coming out being, of course, a teacher, injuries are going to happen. That stuff, you know, can happen or, you know, you're ready for it because you're like, okay, yeah, he had injured Friday, whatever. You know, well, we know he might not be back. But then this new thing with the contact tracing, all of a sudden, like, it can happen, you know, on a Friday.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, Friday at 2 a.m. or 2 p.m., you know, or it can even be, I guess, 2 a.m., you get a call. Yep, he's out now.
Yeah,
and, I mean, that's just incredible to have to try to maneuver that. I mean, especially with smaller numbers like you guys have.
Like, it can even be later than that. It could be, like, 3, and they say, hey, this person can't play. So it's one of those things that this year has been difficult to do with. We've had a couple times where we've had some kids with contact tracing that they've had to sit. So it's luckily we've been able to play all of our games, be able to get all of them in, but there's been some times where we've missed some guys. So it's one of those things that, and it's nice that we're at play, but it'd be nicer if we were at full strength all the time. But I guess that's just where we're at right now in 2020.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Going back, you said it was about the second quarter, 2 games ago, well, week 7, where you guys really found something. It sounds like you carried that over. I mean, you know what it was magically? I'm sure you just want to bottle it up, right, and take it into the sectional.
Like 8 minutes to go in that second quarter, week 7, we just, something clicked, and we've been playing pretty well since then. Last night, in the first half, it was kind of there, but second half, we really found it again and started playing better. But it's one of those things that just overall, the kids, whatever it was, they've been playing a lot better these last couple of weeks, and just putting everything together. And I don't know, it's not necessarily they're just playing a lot better. We're being more consistent with things. And that's where we were at the beginning of the year, is we were making some good plays and doing some good things, but it was only 5-6 plays at a time. Then there'd be plays here and there that, you know, what are we doing type thing. And really since that 2-minute or second quarter of that week 7, we've been much more consistent with what we're doing. And it's been longer series or multiple series of quarters where we're looking really good with what we're doing. And we've been complementing each other offensively, defensively, and not putting each other in really bad positions. And as hopefully, you know, again, we can keep playing and we don't have any more of the contact tracing things go on, and we can carry that into sectional. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, any team at this point, I mean, who knows? Volleyball this week, they had their sectional start, and there's all sorts of teams that had to pull out because of contact tracing and other things. So hopefully everybody can stay healthy this week, and you know, every team is looking at that play right now and saying that hopefully something doesn't hit in the school right now.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the 314 teams will, you know, take the field. Not all of them next week, because the buys for most of 5 and 6A, the battle for, you know, the state championship. And then you don't know, they could just, not even an opponent, just be like, oh, you're done. Because the worst thing is, like we said, like, don't have enough players to field a team next week or the week after. That's it. They're not going to postpone this tournament any longer, and you're all screwed.
I mean, yeah, and that's what every team has to deal with right now. So it's one of those things. It's 1A through 6A that at any moment, if contact tracing happens, your season might be done without even getting to play for it.
Yeah, it's a tough one to swallow there. This is the Sports Showcase from the SP19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in beautiful DeMont, Indiana, on WKI97.7.com. Bernie going here with the head coach of the West Central Trojans, Coach Mark Hall. Well, now we head into the sectionals. You guys are in sectional 41 you'll be hosting the North Justin Blue Jays, who at record-wise are probably the favorite in that. But if you're going to be, if you're going to want to be the champs, you're going to have to beat the best out there. I'm sure you're happy open up with them and you get them at home.
We do get them at home. I've heard, like everyone has said, that they've got the best record. They're the team to beat in there. And so if we're going to win it, at some point we'd have to play them. So we do get them at home. We get them right away. So we're going to do it. We do it right now. And that's what we told the kids is, if our goal was to win the sectional, at some point we're probably going to have to play them. So we get them at home at least. So let's go put our best foot forward, go get after it, go compete, and play the best we can.
What is a sectional a week like? Because I know I've heard from different players, throughout the year, practice ain't great and all, but then you get the sectional week, and all of a sudden you got your full attention because the safety net's gone. You lose here, that's it. It's the second season now, and, especially for the seniors, you don't want your season to end week one in the sectionals.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that, for us, it's always been a little bit of a challenge because we do have fall break during this time period. There's some schools, I think last week was their fall break. So fall breaks are going to be around this time period. Ours happens to be first week of sectional. So to some degree, it throws the kids out of their norm because we do have Thursday or Friday off. So that does throw us off a bit. But to some degree, it's also a little bit of a benefit because that's all they have to focus on then on Thursday and Friday. They don't have to worry about school and those types of things. So, and they might also be able to get a little more rest in than normal. So those things are nice. But it is this is the time period where we either win or that's all there is. And so there is a little more sense of urgency at practices and everything we do, that there's a little more, this is it. There is no second chance, no do-overs at this point. It's now or it's going to be never.
I remember that. I had a coach who, he did it. The fall break happened to be that week, so Tuesday was a real late practice, as late as the lights were actually on mm-hmm. on the game field. And Wednesday was, no kidding, till about 7 o'clock between film and practice. And the whole idea was, they went out there 4 hours, but the whole idea was, with the practice and the film and stuff, to keep them later so that way people didn't get stupid, for lack of a better term, on Thursday. They gave them Thursday to kind of rest, come in there for a normal Thursday practice at, it was about 3 o'clock, had your, Thursday meal and stuff. But Friday, here was the key, bring them in at 10 o'clock. That way they didn't sleep in, because otherwise kids are going to.
Yeah, and that's one of the other things, like with that whole throwing them off schedule is there's some of them that they're probably going to stay up until late playing video games or doing whatever. So we've in the past, we've done that. We've brought them in at 9 or 10.
Just for some
on
film.
Friday, just walk through, do something real brief, and then send them home. And then after that, there's a good chance they probably do go back to sleep. But at least we got them up at a somewhat normal time to get them at least moving and get some movement in there. And there's some that they may get up at close to the normal time, but they may just go sit. And then that's not what they normally do. They're at least moving between classes. Or if they have gym, they're moving throughout the day. So we do try to get them up and at least doing something for a little bit of time there to get them at least awake and doing some things and at least try to make it as close to normal as we can.
Well, one thing you can tell the kids out there for sure is, and the least seniors otherwise can, tell them is, it'll probably feel like Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday are the longest days of their life, especially without school. But come Saturday morning, when all the belly aching and stuff, if you're not there for practice Saturday, it's a horrible, horrible feeling coming next week, because It did. And I mean, well, not everybody likes to be there, at least player-wise. Not everybody likes to be there. You'd give an arm to be there next Saturday because that means you won your game.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, you don't realize, I guess, how much you miss the little things until it is taken away and you don't get to do it again. And that's one of the things I've always tried to get across to the kids to understand that as freshmen, like, you think, I've got a long time. But it gets the senior year quick, and then all of a sudden you look back, you're like, where did it all go? And there's, you know, even practices, you're like, freshman, sophomore, you're like, these are long practices.
And I got to carry the gear and all
and
that.
Then when you're a senior, you look back and you're saying, it went by fast. And then once it's over, it's over. It's not like some of these other sports where you get to play in rec leagues or you can get just friends together and play it. Football is, I've said it before, I'll always say it, it's special. It's one of those things that high school, and if you're lucky enough to go into college, those about it for most people. High school is going to be it for the vast majority of people. Then, again, lucky few get to go on to college, then even luckier few can go on higher than that. But it's one of those things that when it's over, it's over.
It is really just, again, that cutthroat feeling. Well, final, you kind of alluded to, but what will be some keys? Hopefully you get some of these guys back from the contract racing. Of course, it's still up in the air, but what will be some of the keys to come away so that you will be next Saturday in film with the guys getting ready for your semifinal opponent?
A big thing will be stopping them defensively, clearly. They've got good offense. They run pretty much what we do. They run a few different types of formations, but they run option football. They're in our base a lot with our two wings, two receivers. They also do a lot of similar things to what we call our bone package, where we bring our wings in tighter. So they do a lot of those types of things. They're got a good fullback, number 40, runs the ball really well. Their linemen are pretty good size. They do a lot of good things offensively, so we're going to have to defensively make sure we're ready to go, which the advantage is we run this offense, so we should know what to do pretty easily and do things that can stop it. So we already understand those ideas behind it. And it's going to come down to just executing, tackling, blocking, not turning over the football. And, you know, football, you know, people, there's a lot of complex systems and things out there, but it's every system you run, it comes down to, can you block? Can you tackle? Don't turn over the football.
No penalties if you catch it.
Those three things are the big ones, and football is again, a lot of complexities, but it comes down to simple fundamentals a lot of times. So if we can do those things, block well offensively, and then tackle well, then we'll put ourselves in good position. So we just got to be focused in, do the fundamentals, and do the best we can.
Well, yeah, it's the most simple, complex game there is out there. It's quite special. Well, Coach, best of luck next week against the North Justin Blue Jays, and hopefully next Saturday we're talking about a victory in the quarterfinals of Sectional 41.
Thank you.
And that was Coach Mark Hall, the West Central Trojans. More to come on the Sports Showcase on WLKRI97.7.com.
The planter in your shed focuses on the whole field. What if each row of your planter could respond individually for the perfect population and swath control, even on curves? Get the control and accuracy you need with Precision Planting's V-Drive. It is virtually maintenance-free, no chains, no sprockets, no headaches. Learn more about V-Drive by contacting your local Precision Planting dealer. Solid Rock Ag Solutions, located south of Remington. Online at solidrockag.com. Remember, they service what they sell. Smith's Ace Farm Store in Rensselaer has great deals all month long. Get Halloween ready with motion-activated decorations and spooky lights. Smith's Ace also has tremendous deals on basic 1-inch pleated air filters. Buy one, get one. And fire safety is always important. Save now on smoke alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, and fire extinguishers. Save on these and more. If it's for the home or for the farm, Smith's has it. Smith's Ace Farm Store on Route 231, Rensselaer.
Get your award-winning meal at SP19 American Kitchen, but at Jasper County's best all-around restaurant for 2020. You'll get excellent homemade meals made with fresh ingredients that's sure to please the whole family. Located at Sandy Pines Golf Course, this award-winning restaurant is ready to serve you the freshest in steak, burgers, and seafood, along with their fresh daily soups and salads. Keep an eye out for their weekend specials on Facebook. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, SP19 American Kitchen serves an award-winning meal. SP19 American Kitchen, where champions are made.
I'm the Sports Showcase from the SP19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course and beautiful, actually sunny today, DeMont, Indiana on WOKI97.7.com. Bernie going sitting on here. And I guess we'll just go ahead now and preview the upcoming sectionals for the not all 314 teams would be here all night, but for, you know, mostly the teams that we kind of follow here on WIBN 98.1 Gold, WLQI right here 97.7. .com and on 104.5 FM Bear Country for those teams. Obviously, Bear Country and WIBN mostly just Benton Central and Rensselaer Central. But on WLQI, follow roughly about, you know, five teams or so out there. You know, got the Tri-County Cavaliers, West Central Trojans, the South Newton Rebels, the North Newton Spartans, and the Kankakee Valley Cougars. Kind of just go down here on the list. We'll start with the Benton Central Bison, who happened to play in Class 3A. And you have, you know, it's not been the easiest of seasons, again, for Central, but the beauty of it, of course, is that you do kick off a new Sectional 25 they're in. They're in how the sectionals work for most of the teams is you have eight teams in there for everybody out there kind of new to the game, and it's been just a blind draw. You have kind of your top half and your bottom half with the four teams. Benton Central's in the top half of the bracket, and really it's just more for who will get a home game going forward. But they are the home team right now, and they will host the Knox Redskins at Mallory Field next week. And Knox, led by someone who a lot of people, at least from Northwest Indiana, as well as probably around here, know quite well, and that's Russ Radke, who actually started at with the North Justice Blue Jays. He's been doing this, folks, for 44 years, and he's got almost 400 wins, 373 wins in total. He coached at North Justice, then went on to Connersville. Then he at Justin, he actually went to three state championship games. Then he went to coach the Griffith Panthers, and that's where he had his most success as a coach in terms of he won a state championship back in 1997, had a lot of success there in what is a very football-laden area in Griffith, going back all the way, I believe it was till 1993 is when he took over there, and then was there till 2011, then went to New Prairie, coached there from 2012 till last season, went to semi-state back in 2014, and he is the coach. So again, a lot of success. Then he actually, it's interesting, he ended up stepping down from New Prairie, took the job with the Portage Indians before leaving that job before the season even took off. It left sometime in the spring and went over to Knox as they had a football opening. And it took a little while this year for a lot of teams. He started off 0-2, but since then has won five out of his final seven. And only those two losses to La Villa, pretty good team, and Pioneer, maybe the best team. Into a certainly they're ranked up there. I think they're ranked number two, as a matter of fact. And the last game they took out Caston impressively 46-8. So I mean they're going to be a tough task for Benton, but if Knox could very well be the favorite in the sectional, they're up there. You got some other teams in that sectional. The Calumet Warriors, despite only playing three games, could very well be actually the favorite. They take on the Hammond Wildcats. Both teams only have played three games. As Hammond had paused, weren't even going to play a season, but ended up coming back in October. And then at the bottom of the bracket, you have the Hanover Central Wildcats, who haven't been even playing football for that long, but are really a lot of success. They take on the team from the Hoosier Conference. Twin Lakes Indians, a rematch from last year in the sectional where Twin Lakes won. How about this score, 63-35 in that one. And then in the bottom part, the Reinforced Ingots, who actually play a game today against the Bowman Academy Eagles, who are Rensselaer Central's opponent next Friday night from Emory Harrison Stadium. They take on. They will travel to play the Hammond Clark Pioneers. And here's something big: Hammond Clark, as well as Hammond Gavitt, will no longer exist after this season. So this is the last chance for them to make any noise in the tournament. They'll be consolidated as they make a bigger Hammond High School. You go from four Hammond schools, as well as you have, well, five technically if you want to include Bishop Nolnet, but public school-wise, you have four with Hammond, Hammond Gavitt, Hammond Morton, and then Hammond Clark. It'll only just be Hammond Morton and Hammond High next year. So now we, as we'll jump around, we'll go now to Sectional 41. Just go with the WPI slate of games, and we just talked with Coach Mark Hall, the West Central Trojans, who have probably the best team in their sectional, the North Judson Blue Jays. And not going to lie, it's going to be a tough task there, but they've been playing a lot better recently. And if they're able to, you know, play the way they have really the last two and three-quarter games out there, they're going to give Judson all they can handle. And, you know, crazy things happen. They're rivals with each other. They didn't play each other this year for the first time in a long time. But you can never underestimate rivals. And again, you know, this is only, you know, a one-game thing. They talk about it in the NCAA tournament. Of course, they talk about it in the NFL and in the college football playoff. You play one game, that's all it takes. You just got to play well for one game at a time. And the mighty will could end up falling when it's, you know, sudden death from the moment you kick that football off. It's such a crazy time as you have your 9 weeks, usually, in most seasons, to get and prepare. And, of course, the unknown factor, what's going on. And, unfortunately, you can lose a player here or there that you weren't expecting because of contact tracing and stuff. Not that we're obviously wishing that on anyone. Hopefully that's not the case. Want to see everybody out there at their best. But it's just the fact that something could come up that is unforeseen there. As West Central, and having them at home should help them. The rest of the sectional, it's the Culver Cavaliers are at the Lake Station Edison Fighting Eagles. It's been a tough year for Lake Station. You got to think Culver's a favorite in that. And then at the top of the bracket, the Winnemac Warriors will be at the South Central Satellites from Union Mills. Should be a good game. The winner of that game will host the South Newton Rebels as they drew the bye in this. Something that probably not the worst thing for them, as they have a chance now to kind of regroup out there, get some guys healthy, get some guys back and then be ready to go. One thing's for sure, they won't be as battle scarred as South Central Winnemac at the top of Sectional 41 there. We'll go now down one into the Sectional 42. You have the Tri-County Cavaliers who will host Traders Point Christian, the Knights. Ought to be a pretty good game out there, you got to think. Teams with close to similar records, Traders Point Christian 3-4 on the year. Tri-County 2-4. This is a rematch actually from last year's sectional where Traders Point with a way better team put it on Tri-County. But this time around, I would expect a much more competitive game. And this is really a winnable sectional this year. Last year, it was pretty obvious that it was the Lafayette Central Catholic Knights sectional. But this time around, having had to start and stop their season already twice this year, you got to kind of wonder what's going on with them. And at any point, that could happen. Again, I don't think that they're the overwhelming favorites that they have been in the past. They host the Frontier Falcons. At the top of the bracket, Clinton Central will head to take on the North White Vikings, who got to be feeling pretty good after getting that overtime win yesterday, 30-24 over the West Central Trojans. And the bottom of the bracket, Tri-County is to advance. They will be going on the road either to Clinton Prairie or Carroll Flora, 2-7 and 3-4 a year, of course. Pretty much just throw out records at this point in the season, as everybody does start new, but just, you know, for, you know, point of reference, that was their record this year. And now, moving on, we'll head up now to 4A, talk a little bit about the Kankakee Valley Cougars. And interesting enough, most of the teams they play in the regular season in the Northwest Crossroads Conference play in what is sectional seven team, that being the Lowell Red Devils. Morton is not in there, the Hammond-Morton Governors, but they play some of the same teams. The Highland Trojans are, who that game got canceled yesterday. and the Griffith Panthers, the Holbert Brickies, who obviously KVC's Hammond Gavitt, who won't be there after this year, and then the East Chicago Central Trojans and the Gary Westside Cougars all as well in that sectional. For KV, though, somebody's got to take, you know, the bullet. For a while, and back in the day, it was the Holbert Brickies. It's been low in the past. Right now, it's KV, who it's been referred to sectional 18 as the South Bend sectional, because you got South Bend St. Joe, South Bend Clay, South Bend Riley, Logan Sports in this one, New Prairie, who's east of here, as well as the Plymouth Pilgrims. Kankakee Valley, they drew at the bottom of the sectional. They were slated to travel to Culver Academy to take on the Eagles. That game has been agreed to be moved to Kankakee Valley, and they'll actually be hosting Culver Academy. I don't believe that does affect them going forward. So if they win, KV will, I believe, be the home team for the semifinal. Culver 3-5 on the year. The last 35 years, KV has played them the last time all the way back in 1992. The Culver Academy won that one. The way KV's playing, at least early on this season, was very, very good. Had a bit of a hiccup. I mean, going back to Lowell, played really well, and then just weren't able to pull that one out. Then had a very tough Holbert Brickies team, was one of the favorites, actually, in 4A last year. Made it all the way to the semi-state this year, expecting with Craig Osika's bunch to go to the state finals. Wouldn't have to worry about them, of course, till the regional. As far as this sectional, KV, you got to say, is the co-favorite. It's them and it's New Prairie. That game, though, I believe would be at Kankakee Valley if they do play each other. KV will head to what's the Rock Pile to take on the Plymouth, or New Prairie will head to the Rock Pile to take on the Plymouth Pilgrims, a tough place to play. KV knows all about that. But Plymouth, not as good as they've been in years past. This year, only 1-5. So you got to think it's going to be KV and New Prairie. And from there, after that, when you have four teams at the top of the sectional, South Bend St. Joseph, South Bend Clay, Logan Sport, South Bend Raleigh, all with under 500 records, who all of them have played their full nine games, not like they're 2-3 on the year because they had to cancel some games. So you got to believe the winner of that semifinal matchup, if we get to KV New Prairie, the winner of that game, you got to think, is in the driver's seat to win that sectional. And then we talked with James Rolls about this before. Interestingly enough, after what could be some crazy travel, although this year might not be as bad, at least not having to go more than one long bus ride for the sectional. If you do go on the road, you're going to be playing a team probably either in Holbert and Lowell, who's probably the favorites in sectional 17. You know where the Inferno is, and you know where on the Brickyard is, so it wouldn't be as long of a bus ride for them. So KV, expecting good things, get their, I guess, bye, as you can kind of call it, from last week, as Highland was not able to make that game. And then the final sectional, look at sectional 33, where the North Newton Spartans and the Rensselaer Central Bombers reside this year. If you remember last year, there was a bye because the Hammond Bishop Knoll Warriors did not have a varsity allotment of games last year, so they were not sectional and tournament eligible. They are back this year, or 1-6 on the year. They host the Whiting Oilers, who are 0-2 on the year. They were one of the original teams to cancel the season. They did come back, only have played two games. Should be an interesting matchup there. At the top of it, you got to figure this is the favored to get to the finals. And the Andrean 59ers, 8-1 on the year, will be at Valparaiso University to take on the Boone Grove Wolves, 3-6 on the year. Remember, Boone Grove undefeated last year until they ran into Andrean and lost them 27-2 in the sectional. A lot of kids lost to graduation. Andrean 8-1, their only loss is to 6A Power, Maryville. Other than that, Andrean. And they're the winners of the Northwest Crossroads Conference, and they took out Lowell last night by 3 touchdowns. I mean, they have been roasting hot this year. Going to be a tough order for both the Spartans and the Bombers. As far as North Newton, they obviously didn't play last night because their game against Tri-County got called. They will host the Wheeler Bearcats, who they had an impressive win last night against the Griffith Panthers, 52-17. So Wheeler, after having a tough one the week before against the Hanover Central Wildcats, all of a sudden they're going to be flying high, but they will have to go to Gilbert Field. North Newton, honestly, it's probably about a toss-up game there between those two teams. Hopefully North Newton can get some kids back. don't lose any to the contract tracing. Same with Wheeler, and we ought to have a dynamite ball game there. And at the bottom, Rensselaer Central, they will take on, if they're able to be successful against the Bowman Academy Eagles, either the Wheeler Bearcats or the North Newton Spartans, who they played both of them last year. Of course, North Newton earlier this year. The last time Rensselaer Central took on Bowman, it was the magical year on Halloween, 2014, 60-14 victors in that one. That game will be played at Emory Harrison Stadium. Rensselaer, the way they've been playing, you got to think they're probably right now this number two team favorite in there, but of course everybody looking at what is probably not only the best team in Class 2A, one of the best teams in the state, in the end, Drayon 59ers out there, who have, you know, returned some key players. And of course, you know, when you can recruit, people just can come there wherever. Drayon, 8-1 on the year, you know, when you're allowed to have those guys come, have that kind of built-in advantage. But to their credit, I mean, they have been they take advantage of it, and it'll be a tall order for one of the teams. And hopefully, if it is North Newton or Rensselaer, they'll be able to take advantage of it. But it wouldn't be till the sectional finals where they would meet up with that team. But one thing for all 304 teams out there, hopefully, you know, be safe. Again, you've made it this far this season with some hiccups, of course, though it's still slated to play. Hopefully, no team has to bow out because of COVID. You'd rather at least lose it on the field. At least that way you can say, you know, you gave it your best effort and it just wasn't your day. But to have your season pulled because of that, if it's just you not, like, you know, it would, of course, still be tough if it was pulled by the IHSA or someone just because, you know, out of, for safety reasons or whatever, like what happened to the spring sports and the end of the basketball tournament. Hopefully we don't have this and we're crowning six state champions Thanksgiving weekend in November at Lucas Oil Stadium. But right now, time will tell. And hopefully for all the teams out there, be safe, continue to take those precautions, be extra safe out there, because you don't want to go this far just to have the season pulled out of you, the rug pulled out of you. Well, with that, we'll take one last break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. Listening to Sports Showcase on WOKI977.com.
If you're looking for an alternative for the internet, then high-speed wireless is the right choice for you. Free up your phone line and call MidwayNet. With towers conveniently located in Jasper and surrounding counties, this wireless service gives you or your business flexibility to keep in touch with the world. Give MidwayNet a call at 866-7946 or visit our website at midwaynet.net to find out how you can go wireless. We are your access point to the internet.
If you're a sports fan or just proud of your school, Reinforcements Design has the spirit wear that says, I'm a fan. Stocking hats, t-shirts, baseball caps, hoodies, sweatshirts, and scarves, too. Reinforcements Design is your Bomber sportswear headquarter like no other. Plus, Reen has something for all the local schools. See Reinforcements Design today on 114 just west of the Jasper County Fairgrounds, Rensselaer.
Prospect Auto Supply, locally owned and family operated for over 50 years, serves the DeMott community with a high level of integrity and passion. Customer service at Prospect Auto in DeMott is driven by independent ownership that's passionate about delivering excellence in everything they do. You'll find they have the best in class product and experienced professionals. Prospect Auto will deliver the right products to the right place at the right time. Prospect Auto, 620 North Halleck Street in DeMott. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5:30 and Saturday, 7 to 3.
McAllister Ag Division is Indiana-based and family-owned. McAllister Ag Division Rensselaer has a rich history and a long-standing tradition of supplying top-notch equipment, first-class service, and in-depth technical knowledge. McAllister Ag Division is the area's ag co-dealer, supporting Challenger, White, MacDon, Massey, Oliver, Cat, Lexion, and carries Coima chopper parts. So if it's a part for day-to-day operation or that hard-to-find part for that restoration you've been working on, stop by and see the guys Monday through Friday, 7 to 5. McAllister Ag Division, across from the airport, Rensselaer.
Are you in control of your planter? Knowing what your planter is doing is the only way to make your best planter pass every time. With Precision Planting SeedSense, you get the ultimate planter monitor and diagnostic tool that tells you what you need to know, from population to downforce and more. So take control of your planter. Learn more about SeedSense today and transfer your planter for spring by contacting Solid Rock Ag Solutions, located south of Remington, and online at solidrockag.com.
Working with people has been a Kentland Bank trademark for 86 years. They pride themselves with a small bank atmosphere and friendly staff. They are dedicated to making your visit a lasting one and make it a priority to help you achieve your financial goals. They offer the conveniences of online and mobile banking, along with a variety of loans. They invite you to stop in at any of their 5 locations and meet their dedicated staff. Kentland Bank thanks you for making them the bank of choice since 1932. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Back on the Sports Showcase from the SB19 restaurant, Sandy Pines Golf Course in beautiful fall-like now, DeMont, Indiana on WOKI97.7.com. Bernie Golan here. I'd like to thank the wonderful people here at the SB19 restaurant for their hospitality, obviously, throughout the year, and hopefully in the winter we'll see how things go. At this point, it's anybody's guest to play the course at this point, not even day by day, but hour by hour, even minute by minute, what's going on out there. Thank you to the sponsors out there. Thank you to the listener. Listeners always appreciated. Thank you to my wonderful board op, Scotty Tuhati Miller, for his fine technical work back there in the studio. And I just want to mention again, good luck to the 314 teams. Not all of them will be playing, of course, because of the buys. And most of Class 5A, all of Class 6A, but good luck to all of them going forward. And hopefully, again, just being eliminated is on the field, hopefully not the season being pulled. And don't forget right here on WLQI this Sunday, the Chicago Bears, you'll get to hear that game with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayers. They will travel to Charlotte to take on the Carolina Panthers after having, it seems like an eternity, but the last week and a half off the course with coming off the Thursday night win 2 weeks ago against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And don't forget next week here on WLQI, we will have with Frank Sprinkle and Jeff Marlowe the sectional 18 matchup between the Culver Academy Eagles and the Kankakee Valley Cougars. And on our sister station, 104.5 FM Bear Country, myself and Noah Ayler will have the quarterfinal matchup in sectional 33 between the Bowman Academy Eagles and the Rensselaer Central Bombers. Hopefully all the teams hoping for a deep and long playoff run. And it starts unbelievably next week as we kick off the 6-week journey, 5 games for some, all the way to Lucas Oil State, hopefully Thanksgiving weekend. Well, Bernie Golan here signing off. And the next time we cross paths, take care, everyone.
Posse Caliph TV and Appliances wants you to craft the perfect meal at home with KitchenAid appliances. Designed to fuel your passion and make cooking and entertaining easier, KitchenAid is there throughout the entire cooking and cleaning process to help you experiment and create with top-of-the-line appliances. Whether you're a novice or a master chef, you'll find KitchenAid has the right kitchen appliances for you. Browse our wide selection of major appliances at Posse Caliph TV and Appliances in DeMott and Rensselaer to find the right KitchenAid appliances for all your culinary adventures.
Moore Trucking, a family-owned company in Rensselaer, has been serving local businesses for over 20 years. They take pride in hauling local products from food grade to hazmat materials, which helps maintain and strengthen our local economy. To assure your products get delivered on time, call 219-866-0149 and ask about their rates. They're also looking for a few good drivers. You can apply in person at 1395 North McKinley Avenue or give them a call at 219-866-0149 for more details. Moore Trucking LLC are your delivering the goods experts.
Get your award-winning meal at SB19 American Kitchen, but at Jasper County's best all-around restaurant for 2020. You'll get excellent homemade meals made with fresh ingredients that's sure to please the whole family. Located at Sandy Pines Golf Course, this award-winning restaurant is ready to serve you the freshest in steak, burgers, and seafood, along with their fresh daily soups and salads. Keep an eye out for their weekend specials on Facebook. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, SB19 American Kitchen serves an award-winning meal. SB19 American Kitchen, where champions are made.
I'll get around to it someday. Hopefully that's not your saving for retirement strategy. Edward Jones Financial Advisor Christine Bogan can help. Stop by the office at 496 South Burma Street in Wheatfield. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Thank you for listening to the Saturday Morning Sports Showcase on 97.7 FM WLQI. The Saturday Morning Sports Showcase is brought to you in part by RMT Transport, Fozzie Califf TV and Appliances, Midway Net, The Good Table Family Restaurant, Anderson Outdoor Power, Kentland Bank, By Suburban Propane, Prospect Auto Supply, Solid Rock Ag Solutions, Smith Farm Store, Edward Jones Financial Advisor Christine Bogan, SP19 American Kitchen, Tim's Auto Body and Sales, Reinforcement Designs, McAllister Machinery Company, and By More Trucking.